KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 28 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies here today with a high of 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Two men from Shenandoah were arrested Wednesday on felony forgery charges. According to Shenandoah Police, a joint investigation involving the Tabor Police Department and Fremont County Sheriff's Office resulted in the arrest of 38-year-old Victor Ingram and 43-year-old Curtis Clark, both from Shenandoah. Ingram and Clark were taken into custody on Class D felony charges of forgery. Ingram posted $5,000 bond and was released. Clark was unable to post bond and remains in the Page County Jail. If convicted on the charges, the men could face up to 5 years in prison and fines of up to anywhere from $750 to $7,500. News time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Authorities say three Red Oak men were arrested on felony burglary charges Tuesday following a joint investigation between deputies in the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office and Red Oak Police. Taken into custody on charges of burglary in the third degree was 38-year-old Jody Lee Michelson, 20-year-old Cameron Allen Crisman, and 20-year-old James Leroy Christensen, Jr., all of Red Oak. Christensen had faced an aggravated serious misdemeanor charge of accessory to a felony, but that was dismissed by the court. The trio allegedly burglarized a residence at 1685 G Avenue in rural Red Oak during the early morning hours of Tuesday, March the 6th. All three subjects were brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held without bond. Their preliminary hearings were set for March 16th, and at that time, a judge may set their bail at $5,000 each. Authorities in Pottawatomie County said yesterday that a Nebraska man was arrested Tuesday morning on numerous charges in the northwestern part of the county following a manhunt. Sheriff's Department spokesman Sergeant Dwayne Ritchie told KJAN News that 28-year-old Luis Enrique Cruz Guzman of Bellevue, Nebraska, was taken into custody at around 11:37 a.m. Tuesday after being flushed out of an embankment near a creek by a Pottawatomie County K-9 unit about 6 miles north-northeast of Council Bluffs. Sergeant Ritchie said the incident began when authorities received word at around 7:50 a.m. that a man matching Cruz Guzman's description was on the property of the Hazel Dell Township Cemetery at about 250th and Juniper Road.
At approximately 10:15, deputies were called to L-34 and Badger Avenue for the same subject walking towards Weston. A victim, Brian Driver, had spotted this person on his property carrying a claw hammer that he believed to be his, that came from a shed or an outbuilding on his property.
When Driver confronted the man and said he was going to call the sheriff's office, Cruz Guzman took off on foot through a cornfield, headed toward a wooded creek line. Moments later, Phil Koch, who was on an ATV and fixing a fence line, saw the suspect running toward the creek in the vicinity of Juniper Road and L-34.
The responding deputy got onto the ATV with this Phil because obviously the terrain was pretty rugged through there. As they were doing that, another report came out that this same Hispanic male had stolen a bicycle and was trying to get away on it, basically. That didn't last too long. He threw the bike down and then took off running across the field again.
Numerous agencies responded to conduct a search for the man, including the Iowa State Patrol and a Pott County K-9 unit. Area schools were notified about the incident and placed on a lockdown as a security measure. As the K-9, Francisco, and his handler, Deputy Brian Miller, began to walk the creek line, the suspect heard the team approaching and surrendered to the State Patrol near the 14.5-mile marker of Interstate 80.
He was wearing only his boxer shorts at that time, his shoes, his pants, his shirt was froze from the water, and he lost him in the creek somewhere. He said that water was cold.
Cruz Guzman was arrested on a warrant out of Boone County for probation revocation and possession of marijuana with the intent to deliver. He was also charged in Pottawatomie County with burglary in the third degree, 2 counts of trespassing, interference with official acts, and theft in the fifth degree. And he was being held in the Pottawatomie County Jail on a $10,000 bond. Sheriff's officials in Shelby County say this morning that the Shelby County Sheriff's Office and Iowa Division of Narcotics Enforcement concluded a narcotics investigation Tuesday evening. As a result of the investigation, several search warrants were served at 809 4th Street in Harlan, at 1603 Cheyenne Avenue in Harlan, a storage unit at No. 67 Industrial Parkway in Harlan, and a 1997 Dodge pickup. And three suspects were taken into custody and brought to the Shelby County Jail. 47-year-old John M. Rodacker of Harlan faces numerous charges, including violation of a restricted purchases of pseudoephedrine from a pharmacy, 18 counts, conspiracy to manufacture methamphetamine, possession of anhydrous ammonia as a precursor, possession of pseudoephedrine as a precursor, tampering with, possessing, and transporting anhydrous ammonia, possession of a firearm by a felon, prohibited acts, 2 counts, possession of drug paraphernalia, and Rodacker was being held in the Shelby County Jail with a bond of $100,000. Also arrested following that investigation was 57-year-old Mark Olson of Harlan. He's been charged with violation of a restricted purchase of pseudoephedrine, 9 counts from a pharmacy, possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia as well, and he was being held in the Shelby County Jail on $25,000 bond. Also, 53-year-old Jolene M. Olson of Harlan was charged with violation of restricted purchase of pseudoephedrine from a pharmacy, 3 counts, and she was brought to the Shelby County Jail with her bond set at $10,000. The investigation remains ongoing by the Shelby County Sheriff's Office and Iowa Department of Narcotics Enforcement. A former Council Bluffs youth pastor who pleaded guilty to sexually abusing a teenager has been put on probation and ordered to get sex offender treatment. Brent Giroux was sentenced on Wednesday in Pottawatomie County District Court. He pleaded guilty in November to one count of third-degree sexual abuse, entered an Alford plea to 2 counts of sexual exploitation by a counselor or a therapist, under which he didn't admit guilt but agreed that evidence likely existed for a conviction. Giroux, a former youth pastor at the Victory Fellowship Church, told investigators he had sexual contact with one teen over a 4-year period. Several other young men stepped forward after his arrest. Giroux had faced 89 charges. Prosecutors consolidated the charges. A Harlan teen arrested last summer on drug charges is in trouble with the law again. According to court records, 18-year-old Brett Scott Wilkie faces numerous felony drug charges and an aggravated misdemeanor drug charge after he was arrested following an ongoing Harlan Police Department investigation into his alleged activities. Wilkie faces a felony charge of ongoing criminal conduct, 3 felony charges of delivery of a controlled substance, and an aggravated misdemeanor charge of possession of a controlled substance in a structure. If convicted of the felony and aggravated misdemeanor charges, he faces up to 42 years in jail, with fines totaling $17,500. According to Harlan police reports, Wilkie allegedly sold marijuana to a confidential informant on 3 separate occasions in January and February. The Harlan Tribune reports Wilkie allegedly sold a baggie of green leafy substance that field tested positive for marijuana to the informant. The amount of each sale was 3.8, 4.2, and 5.4 grams. One of the sales was allegedly within 1,000 feet of a school. Wilkie was taken into custody following a traffic stop on February 23rd in Harlan. He was released on a $15,000 bond and ordered to appear in court for his preliminary hearing on March the 15th. Wilkie was also arrested last May on possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia charges. He was 17 at the time, and that case was handled by Juvenile Court Services. And the Audubon County Community Foundation has announced the Exira Lions Club and Harold and Beverly Ann Godwin Endowed Scholarship Fund will result in 1 scholarship for $1,000. A scholarship is open to any high school senior from the Exira EHK School District pursuing a 2 or 4-year degree full-time at any accredited vocational, technical, or educational institution or college or university. The deadline for submitting applications for the scholarship is March the 31st. Anyone interested in seeking that scholarship needs to apply, complete an application, which is available from your high school guidance counselor. And taking a look at national news headlines this morning, more people applied for U.S. unemployment benefits last week, but the overall level stayed low enough to suggest the job market is strengthening. Labor Department says weekly applications increased by 8,000 to a seasonally adjusted 362,000, the highest level since January. The 4-week average edged up to 355,000, its first increase in 8 weeks. Still, that's only slightly above the previous week's figures, which was the lowest in nearly 4 years. Scientists say the largest solar storm in 5 years is hitting us right in the nose. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration expects the massive cloud of charged particles to disrupt power grids, airline flights, satellite networks, and GPS services, especially in the northern region of the country. And it's a lucky time to be in Rhode Island if Powerball jackpots are any indication. Powerball officials say the only winning ticket to Wednesday's $60 million jackpot was sold in Rhode Island. On Tuesday, a state resident came forward to claim a $336.4 million jackpot from the February 11th drawing. The winner of Wednesday's jackpot and where the ticket was sold haven't been announced yet. The winning numbers, by the way, were 12, 35, 45, 46, 47, and the Powerball was 12. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Grace Marie Morris, age 79, of Casey, died Saturday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Grace Morris will be today at 10 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Casey. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Juanita Sunderman, age 83, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Graveside services for Juanita Sunderman will be today at 10 o'clock at St. John's Cemetery, 1 mile south of Lyman, with a luncheon to follow. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Marcella Cahill, age 92, of Avoca and formerly of Hancock, died Sunday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Marcella Cahill will be today at 11 o'clock at the United Church of Avoca, with Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca in charge of arrangements. Kenneth Wolfe, age 49, of Audubon, died Monday at his daughter's home in Audubon. Funeral services for Kenneth Wolfe will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Emma Ann Larson, age 96, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Emma Ann Larson will be held Friday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Stacy Lynn Grimes Taylor, age 40, of Winterset and formerly of Earlham, died Saturday at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Stacy Taylor will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Earlham Church of Christ, with the Johnson Family Funeral Home and Stewart in charge of arrangements. Dolores Stanley, age 81, of Greenfield, died Saturday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Dolores Stanley will be Friday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Helen Bandow, age 77, of Manila, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Helen Bandow will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home of Manila has arrangements. Ruth Dwyer, age 84, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Celebration of life services for Ruth Dwyer will be held Friday at 2:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has arrangements. Mervyn W. Christensen, age 79, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Mervyn Christensen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home of Manning has arrangements. Orville Clayton Young, age 88, of Harlan, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Orville Young will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Polly Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Doris Fett, age 85, of Panora and formerly of Adair, died Wednesday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Doris Fett will be Saturday at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Milton Sinow, age 81, of Aspinwall, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Services for Milton Sinow will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Pauline Hogsett, age 91, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Pauline Hogsett will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Marjorie R. Custer, age 85, of Panora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday in Panora. Funeral services for Marjorie Custer will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Ronald Stitt, age 76, of Panora and formerly of Des Moines, died Wednesday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Ronald Stitt will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in rural Van Meter. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Mary Ann Hopkins, age 73, of Panora, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Mary Ann Hopkins will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center has arrangements. Helen Bull, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Services for Helen Bull are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids. And Adele Leist, age 88, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Adele Leist will be held at the St. Paul Lutheran Church here in Atlantic. The date and time are currently pending. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic is in charge of arrangements. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.